DavidRenneke.com. I love the website. Love the man even more. David, hello.
The checker ride, Bilko. Good to be with you again.
Yes, good to be with you too. Apollo 11, The Untold Story. It's the book you've written that's out there for people to get hold of. It's in e-book form, is that correct?
Yeah, it is an e-book. Now, this is something I did a long time ago. No, not a long time ago, but 4 or 5 years ago, and we put together a story, a history of the space program leading up to the moon landing. And in that e-book, there are so many things that we didn't know about, things that went wrong we weren't told about, things that didn't go the way they should, and quite a few things that they never made mention of for various reasons. Now, this e-book has gone very well for me. Coming up to the 50th anniversary now, what am I to do if we'd like to offer your readers a little special enticer?
Okay.
Now, I've got it up for sale again. It's only $14.99. It's a good buy. I put a lot of work into this, about 50 pages of it. And inside, you'll read the inside story about, what happened with the moon there, how it all took place. And
how brave these men were, because you've got to remember they were all test pilots, so they were all quite willing to die if they had to.
Yeah, well, a lot of them did too. We lost quite a few. Look, what I'll do with this one, we haven't done this before, but I just want to promote a little bit in your area. What we'll do, anyone who orders that e-book today or tomorrow, we'll also supply another one with it called Back Out There. It's a great introduction to the universe. It's all written in plain, simple language, and it's a great for starters, anyone at school maybe, adults too, who don't understand what planets, stars, what all those things are about.
Well, it's funny, talking about those sort of books, I remember my sister, who has never been interested in space at all, managed to read Stephen Hawking's, that history of everything.
Yeah.
And now she's keen on, moving into the realm that I've been interested in all my life. So her book is, your book is something she'd be keen on. So, yeah, good to see people like that who are peeling back the fold, mm-hmm. so to speak, and opening their mind.
Yeah, well, I was really happy with the book. It's gone so well, and we sold quite a few copies of those. But it is coming up to the 50th anniversary, and I'll tell you what, you'll learn a lot. There'll be things in there that'll make your hair stand on end. Won't reveal much of that. It's up to the person who buys it. But it's something you can download and print if you want, but it's best read on the computer. We'll put that extra e-book with it. It's normally sold. It's a great introduction to astronomy and the universe. So we'll throw that in. I'll just keep an eye on anything from Queensland coming in. That might be the way.
Yeah, no worries. Apollo 11, The Untold Story.
Yeah, The Untold Story. It's on my webpage now. It's the front story there. And all you do is click on that and it'll take you to the link. So DavidRenneke.com, DavidRenneke.com.
Other big stories, of course. Now, this sounds like something you've pulled from a sci-fi movie, David, but I suppose it sounds practical, building a space station inside an asteroid.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? It does sound crazy, but it's got a lot of science behind it. Now, look, we're talking about extended voyages here, and we're trying to keep our people safe from the cosmic rays that are out there, these dangerous rays that are in space. Also try to keep them safe from asteroids or meteorite impacts. And living inside an asteroid might sound a little bit strange, and certainly there's a movie in it somewhere. But keep in mind that when we first started living on this planet, we lived in caves. We lived in under rock. Where do people in Cooper Pedy live? They live underground. I'm living in a brick house. So tunneling through an asteroid there and burrowing through it and putting a habitat in there is not such a bad idea when you think about it. And you can not only do that and do it fairly easily with today's technology, but we can move the asteroid when we want to, wherever you want to go. You've only got to give it a bit of a nudge and it'll continue to travel in the direction you push it.
David, is it true that asteroids generate some sort of gravity inside as well?
Not really, no. They're too tiny for that. We're talking about something only a few hundred metres in diameter, perhaps, or maybe a K or 1 or 2 K. There's hardly any gravity there, certainly not enough to hold anybody. But you'd, this is the environment you're living in when you're living in space there. So if we wanted a halfway station, if we left it in the asteroid belt, left the asteroid there, it's a place that you could go to and jump out, get into, refresh yourself, reset your supplies, if you're on a mission to Jupiter, which is 3 or 4 years away.
I remember Star Wars inside an asteroid where the Millennium Falcon went for a bit of rescue relief. Unfortunately, there was a dragon inside inside the asteroid. So they're actually inside its mouth and not inside the asteroid cave. So you've always got to be careful of those sort of things.
Yeah, no, look, I who knows what's ahead. I mean, it's a bold idea, it's a crazy idea, but there's been crazy things said before, and they've come off, and people have said, what a wonderful idea.
I think it's a great
idea. So who knows, down the track, we could be living inside an asteroid.
Yeah, well, if that's the way we're going to traverse those distances, why not? Richard Branson says he'll be in space by July. Do we believe him?
Look, you know, a lot of respect for what he's doing. You can't knock the man. He's trying to start a brand new business up here. He's got the vehicle to do it, but I don't think he's ever really got over the crash that happened about 3 years ago that killed one of the pilots, and it wasn't anything to do with the plane.
But Richard, test pilots know this is par for the course.
They do. I mean, this is why they're test pilots. And but see, there were two pilots on board there on that vehicle, and what happened was when they came back through the atmosphere, one of the pilots panicked and opened the aero braking too early. What this vehicle does, it doesn't have any rockets to slow down. You're coming back through the atmosphere very quickly, up around 18 to 20,000 k an hour, and they can turn the shape of the wings and the tail section into a shuttlecock, which slows the vehicle down very, very, very quickly.
Oh, okay.
But the guy opened the braking up too early, and it put the vehicle into a dynamic spin that it couldn't get out of. So it crashed. One pilot killed, one survived. I don't think he ever got over that. In fact, he had a lot of time to reflect on it. He did say later down the track that at one point he did consider cancelling the whole thing. But look, he's up and running again, and he's come out saying that we'd be ready by July. Near the end of last year, he said we'd be ready by Christmas time. Then he said it'd be the new year, first week or two in the new year, and now we're saying July. People are getting tired of hearing that. I'd prefer he didn't say anything. Just launch when you're ready and do it, you know.
The press will come, don't worry.
Sorry?
The press will come when he launches.
Yeah, but people are losing faith in him. They keep hearing the same thing. A lot of them are pulling out. He's lost quite a lot of the people who've signed up earlier on. There's been quite a few people who've cut out of that, and it stopped all the newer people coming along because he does have two competitors right on his tail. But it's time that he started to do something. I think he's being a little bit, maybe a bit too cautious. But then again, we don't want to push it too far, I guess, and push the envelope to a point where we lose anyone else. I guess it's a catch-22, I suppose, to use an old cliche.
So Neil Armstrong, when he was around, there wasn't social media to highlight, you know, the disasters, where now people can take photographs of tests and, you know, put them out everywhere. DaveRenicky.com, check out more stories on the website there. The Milky Way, you're saying, David, is not like it's not as stable as we once first thought.
No, this has been a new find, something that I never expected, but a lot of work's being done on where we are and what our position is in space. We know we live in a galaxy. We know we live in a spiral galaxy. Now, when you have a look at photographs of spiral galaxies like our Milky Way and the Andromeda system, they look flat, like a pancake.
Yeah.
And essentially they are. But new work being carried out here by Macquarie University, Professor de Groos there, at one of the astronomers at Macquarie Uni in Sydney, has been placing stars, certain stars, at set points in the universe. They've been picking them up. They're locator stars. And they've been looking at the position of these stars and watching how they move. And it would appear that further out in the disk of the galaxy, the further you go out from the center, the gravity dies off fairly quickly. So therefore, those stars out there aren't subject to the same sort of strength hold as the ones in the middle. More than that, the galaxy is spinning as well, and that produces torque. People who deal with cars and racing cars and engines know about torque. It's the twisting effect. So combine the twisting effect with the lack of gravity out near the edge, and you'll find that the stars are warped, that the edge of the disk is warped. You ever left a record? Do you remember what a record is? Remember the old record?
Yeah, no, I still have them.
You still got one?
Yeah.
The black things with a hole in the middle. Yeah. You ever left one in the sun?
Yeah, they unplayable
they
again.
Curl up, yeah. Ends up like, well, that's what the galaxy is like now. It's not flat as we imagined. It apparently is all curved at the edges. And we think all galaxies now, when we look at them, they probably have the same configuration.
Wow, I wonder if they can put a needle on them and they'd have a soundtrack.
Do you know what? I say that in some of my talk, you know, and I talk about record mainly in examples.
Yeah.
The rings of Saturn. I remember in the schools 15, 20 years ago, we'd be saying, look, the rings of Saturn resemble the rings on a record, you know, and everyone knew what you're talking about. But now kids look at you, they've never seen a record.
You can even mention a CD to kids now and they're going, what?
They haven't. A lot of the young kids can barely remember a CD. It's all MP3s now.
Yeah, it's MP3 and waves. For
it. Yeah, exactly. The time marches on quickly, doesn't it? Yeah.
Have a look at DaveRenicki.com too for these new pictures coming out of China's satellite, because they've taken a lot of pictures of the moon and they're interested in the far side of the moon, David.
Yeah, there's a great photograph there. They've taken a shot of the far side of the moon with the Earth in the distance there. It's a very rare photograph taken by their orbiting satellite, the one that's imaging the backside of the moon at the moment. And don't forget, there's a Chinese lander on the other side too. Now, this is an amazing photograph. We couldn't have taken this 20 years ago. Couldn't have taken it 10 years ago. We hadn't perfected the technique we've got today of landing these things properly. But on the other side of the moon is not an easy place to go when you can't see where you're going.
No.
Because it's out of touch of planet Earth. But it's taken this great panoramic shot, and you can see the Earth, the moon in the foreground, huge. The backside of the moon, not the side we can see, but the backside of the moon, and in the distance, there's our little Earth.
I hope China does a really cool mapping of that dark side, because it is something we really want revealed here on Earth. So I hope they take the bull by the horns, literally, and get about with the mapping on that. It'd be nice.
Well, I think you'll see a Chinese astronaut on the moon very soon.
Yeah, you wait about that. All right, DaveRenicki.com is all linked up at our Facebook and website right now if you want to know more. And links to get hold of Apollo 11, The Untold Story. It's a book
we'll
you have
to read. We'll also throw a free ebook in there too. Well, back out there, and way out there it is. It's just a great ebook to learn all about astronomy. That's a free one. We'll throw that in as well.